Good morning, church. Let's take our seats, please. Do we have any happy people in the room today? Good. That's the best reaction you got. Take that, Dad. So this morning, during worship practice, I felt a little bit just like emotional, I guess, sort of like ruled by my emotions, because it's kind of hard to find the right tempo, and we're trying a lot of new and different things for worship, and so it's very hard to adjust. So I was kind of just letting my emotions rule over my morning, and I was just setting cruise control, and I was like, I mean, I'm just gonna, whatever happens, happens. But I felt during prayer, the Lord was telling me, don't do that. Like, don't let your emotions rule you. Because whenever you set yourself in cruise control, that takes God off the wheel. And so when God's off the wheel, then you are recklessly driving now. And there is no control to your life. Now you're just kind of going, right? And so what I feel the Lord telling is, if you feel like you're ruled by your emotions this morning, or you feel like you're having having trouble taking control over your life, just take the wheel with him, and he'll take it with you, right? And he'll drive you to places you never thought you could go. So I just want to pray that over everybody this morning, that we would just be able to be able to take control of our emotions, Lord, that we would be able to drive the long distances with you, that we would no longer feel any anxiety, any anger, any sadness, Lord, that we would just be able to fully worship you today, and that we would just feel your presence come on us today, Lord, in Jesus' name.
I Thank you. get shy on me, lift up your songs, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your songs, 'cause you got a lion.
It's something that we say and rejoice. It's something that we say regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what it looks like around us. We sing hallelujah. When we have nothing else to give, we have a hallelujah to give to the Lord. This world needs God's children to stay in the place of exclamation for the Lord. Where the world seems desolate, where the world seems like it's burning, where the world seems like it's, you know, going to hell in a handbasket, we as believers get to say, no, we have good news. We have Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate good news. Jesus is the perfect theology. Jesus is everything. And it is the simple Sunday school answer. What's the answer to the world's problem? It's Jesus. What's the answer to my finances? It's Jesus. What's the answer to my marriage? It's Jesus. What's the answer to my problems at work or whatever? It's Jesus. And we sing hallelujah. So let's sing this chorus. And church, I know we always say this, but let's just sing it with all of our hearts. Come on, again, we have an opportunity. I hope nobody came here just to come. We have nothing better to do. Let's just go to church. No, I hope we came here because we wanted an encounter with a loving Father, that we wanted to actually receive something from Jesus today. I hope we came here so we can worship with the saints. I hope we came here so we can get equipped and we can leave different. Jesus, 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 let's sing this.
Nothing else fit for a king.
Singing at church. In mind, God, that no matter where we are in life, we get to sing hallelujah. We get to bring praises before you, God, even when it feels like we have nothing to praise you for, even when it feels like we have nothing to be thankful for or grateful for, God, we have you, and we get to bring a hallelujah, God. We get to bring a hallelujah, Lord, before the throne room of heaven. We thank you so much. We thank you before we have anything to be thankful for, God. We're grateful before we have anything to be grateful for, God. We sing a hallelujah, Lord, even when we don't feel like praising God. We thank you, God, that you are a praiseworthy Savior, Jesus Christ. That you are worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy of. thank you that even though we don't always know what it's going to look like, God, that we can trust you, Jesus. We can trust you, Father, when we step into your presence, when we step into who you are. God, I just thank you so much, Lord, for the love that you pour out on your children. The love that you're pouring out right now over your sons and over your daughters. Pray peace. I pray peace, Lord, that surpasses all understanding, Lord, to just to fall, Lord, on your children, to fall on their minds, to fall on their bodies, to fall on their families. God, that we would walk in peace. Peace in knowing you're there. Peace in knowing that you are for us and you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Well, guys, we're going to stay in this place of worship, even though we're going to get coffee and say hello to each other, that worship is not just music, worship is not just singing, but worship is a lifestyle, amen. So why don't you guys greet somebody, say hello, and get some coffee, and we'll see you guys in a moment or two.
All right. Well, I think we're going to do a declaration over the city today. Get it queued up here. There we go. You'd stand with me again, nice and loud. Let's project our voices. And let's declare over Yakima what we believe the Lord wants to do in people's lives and hearts and in the businesses and everything of the Yakima Valley. On three, one, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the Yakima Valley, Lord. We thank you for every place, Lord, where your people are, that declare your name, that call themselves your people. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, for every brother and sister in Christ, Lord, that you would allow them to shine bright as lights, Lord. Lights that light up this city, Lord, in such a way that people are drawn, Lord, to you. Lord, we pray that as your children, Lord, in this valley, Lord, that we would be a representative of the kingdom of God, that we would live our lives, Lord, that would be examples, Lord, to others of how to live, Lord, in faith. Lord, I pray right now that you would just help every church, Lord, become the house of worship, become the house of prayer, Lord, become the house of devotion, Lord, you've called them to be. Lord, we pray for every blessing in the heavenly places to fall upon the churches of the Yakima Valley. Lord, let them fill, Lord, with people that are hungry, Lord, to know you. Let them be filled with people, Lord, that are hurting and broken, Lord, and can find healing, Lord, in your presence. And we just lift this declaration and this prayer before you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Who's doing announcements?
Hi, guys. So there's only... Oh, he has my phone. There's two announcements. Oh, three. So pre-service prayer. I really cannot encourage you guys enough to come. It's amazing. It's from 9:45 to 10 a.m. It's downstairs in our prayer room. We were super intentional with building that room for a purpose, and that's to just really get our hearts set on the Lord before we even ever come into service, and just prepping ourselves for being able to receive what it is that God has for us. And so if you have the availability, and even if you don't, but you want to push yourselves to try, I would encourage you to come between that time and just really prepare your hearts for what God's doing before the service ever starts. And then we have a church potluck, you guys. It's going to be so fun. We haven't done this in a while. But June 25th from 6 to 8 at Franklin Park, it's going to be in the area right where the children's play area is. So moms and dads can watch their kids, but we can also fellowship and have a good time. So please let your friends know. They're more than welcome to come. We'd love to. It's just an opportunity to fellowship with you guys and get to know one another even more intimately. There is a sign-up sheet because it is a potluck. So if you are coming or choose to come, please put your name down, what it is that you want to bring to help. But the church will provide all the meat. And that's it, right? We're doing the meat. Doing the meat. Awesome. Yeah, you know. I mean, Gigi won't not do a couple sides too, so whatever. And then before we move on to tithing, also, just to put a word in your ear, Eric and I are going to be doing a yard sale, or a big yard sale out here in the parking lot to help raise funds for our youth, for our youth camp this year. So as you guys are doing your spring/summer, you know, like cleaning, please make sure that you consider us if you have anything that you think would be able to, bring value. Please do get a hold of either Eric or myself. You can either send us pictures and just ask us, and then we'll let you know where to drop it off. And I guess if you want our numbers, just come talk to us. Okay. And then giving. Is this, are you on tithe today or me? Okay, well, I'll take it. Okay, so, sorry, guys. All right, giving. You guys, oh, what a blessing that we get to give to the local church and to God's kingdom. So this is an extension of worship. Like, this is our ability to be able to not only be disciplined with our walk in the Lord by carving out a bit of our finances to be able to allow for him to work in those finances, telling our money where to go for the kingdom of the Lord. So don't take it lightly when you're writing your checks or you're giving your cash or whatever. Just make sure that you're aware, like, what you're doing is a big deal. Giving is an act of obedience. It is a sacrifice, and it's so beautiful to the Lord. So in doing so, if you are old-fashioned like me, we have the envelopes. You could put it in there. But if you're a little bit more like my husband, onelifefamilyworship.com, click give. It'll walk you through. And that's it. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yo, you got it.
Working? There it is. Oops. Hang in a second. How's everyone doing this morning? Good? Good. There we go. So, as I shared last time, when preached with No Net. No Net was my wife, Gaylene, and she's not here today. She's actually in the Tri-Cities, and she's with our oldest twins. They are home alone, so she's with them. They're almost 17, but they still need a little bit of guidance. It's a little rough to leave them by themselves, you know, at least maybe for our hearts. Oops, I must have hit something. Sorry. I wanted to share, I don't know what's going on here. I wanted to share about a truth of finding your roots. And it is based on the idea that we have a heritage, that we have a genealogy, that we have a place where we're grounded and where we have an origin. And most of us, you know, I don't know if you guys have heard of the show, Finding Your Roots. Gay absolutely loves it. And what the premise of it is, there's stars, you know, movie stars and people who are of notoriety. And this gentleman basically does research and background on their family history. And sometimes he goes back hundreds of years. And most of these individuals don't know this. You know, they might know a couple grandfathers, and they might know a little bit that's been shared, but most of them don't know their origins. Some of them find out that they came from royalty, kings and queens. They find out that they were part of the Underground Railroad that would help the slaves escape. Some of them find out that their families were leaders in the Confederate Army, and that always makes them feel like, you know, sad because of being on that side of the war. Some find out all kinds of stories, like they were part of presidential families. And so those you can see as they discover these things that their countenance changes, and they start to think, wow, I mean, look at my heritage, look at where I've come from. And maybe they hear stories of how someone acted and how they lived, and they go, maybe how they even conducted themselves, say, oh, I have that kind of same thought process. And they realize that their genealogy also affected how they live now. And so what I want to communicate to us is how our spiritual genealogy should affect us, how our life in God should affect us. And so I was going to share this last week. Today is actually, Eric and I rotate Sundays. This is actually his Sunday to share. But I really felt impressed that I wanted to share this. But I didn't want to necessarily share this on my own. And let me tell you why. Years ago, when Gay and I were called to be the senior pastors here, and literally like spoken to by God, like every step along the way of what to do, I would get like impressions of what the Sunday was going to be like, the service, the songs. I would get impression if people were going to visit. It was just really, it was, and it seemed like normal to me because it happened so often. Well, several years ago, like quite a few now, I haven't had any of those kind of impressions. I haven't had that like put on my heart. And when we were called, actually, out of I was called out of a full-time job, making a really good salary. I was a manager of an irrigation department and designed, you know, sprinkler systems and drip systems for the entire, actually, entire region of Washington. And so I was coming out of a weekend where we had a kind of like an audit. And it was a really tough weekend. And our church at that time had gone through some ups and downs, and we were kind of in a down time. And what happened is I was taking a shower, and a lot of times when I'm taking a shower, the Lord speaks to me. I was taking a shower, and the Lord spoke to me to go into full-time ministry. And then actually, years later, I was taking a shower, and the Lord spoke to me, and I felt like I was going to go preach in another church, which ended up being the steps of the process of us being the senior pastors here. Well, I was taking a shower on Friday after doing the lawn, and I had this, I was just singing this song, House of Miracles. I was singing the part about being the blood of Jesus running through our veins, and the resurrection power of life being in us. And when I did that, I had an impression, and I haven't had this for years, of Eric sharing with me. So Eric, if you would come on up, I want to be obedient. Eric wants to be obedient. I don't know how this is going to go down. We'll just see. You're going to grab that mic. Is that going to be okay? That's not going to be okay. Can't use both those mics. You got to be tethered. I'm sorry. So, finding your roots. I want to start with something because when I shared on You Are Light, which to me is something that I've been living in that truth that Christ lives in me, and everything that Christ has, I have, and everything that God has, I have, because the Holy Spirit lives in me, and all of God lives in me. And so I communicated that truth, and I said that the truth can be offensive and it can be radical. So I think for us to truly get this idea of finding your roots, and we'll see where we go, to truly find our roots, we need to be ready to embrace and experience the truth. Because if we don't embrace the truth and the reality of what the word says, if we just read it and say, oh, that's a good saying, or that's a great verse, you know, or it's like, I've heard a sermon about that before. How many have said that about verses you've heard before? Oh, I've heard a great sermon about that. Well, it's not about that. It's about the word, the truth getting in us and transforming us and changing us. So today, I think I want to start with this verse. This is John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's a translation. It's kind of like the Amplified, but it's like the Amplified on steroids, and you can get it for free. It's called the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. Highly recommend it if you really want to blow up a scripture and kind of really see the depth of what those Greek words are saying. And it says in verse 32, and you will progressively come to know the truth. So this tells me that receiving truth is a process. It doesn't come all at once. I mean, we receive Christ, who is the truth, but for us to receive truth, it's a progression. We have to be moving forward to receive truth. We have to be seeking and searching to receive truth. We have to open up our hearts to receive truth. Sometimes the Lord wants to really, really put something in us and really change us, but we're kind of hard. We're kind of that hard soil. And we literally need God to come in with his rototiller, spiritual rototiller, you know, and do some rototilling. We need the angels of God to come and remove stones in our hearts that have built up through our lives because of circumstances, situations, resentments, all those things that we can let build up in us that keep the truth from having its way. It says, or truth is another word, reality. I always like to think of, what is real? There's illusions out there. There's lies out there. And then there's reality, and that's the truth. Really, it means verity. It means what is real is another word for the truth. So if you think about this, if you think about that you want to know the truth, have you guys heard this? What they say when they swear before they give a testimony? I swear that I'll tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God, right? I don't know if they do that as much anymore, because I don't know if they even take a Bible into court anymore, but they do? Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know that they're still doing that for witnesses. Do you have something?
Always.
Always.
the key to, and when we talk about truth, is that we've got to recognize there's a difference between what's true and what's truth. And this is important to remember, because in society, there's a lot of garbage out there that's being painted as true.
Yeah.
I feel this way, therefore it's true. It's true that you feel that way, but it's not truth. And how I know it's not truth is because when I open this thing up, it counters what you feel or what you think. And so this is, when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's also very important that we don't only go by what we think is true. Oh, because I heard that in a sermon once, or because I, was listening to Caleb and they said this, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is the filter, the Jesus filter, truth. Does it line up with scripture? Does it line up? Not just, oh, but it makes me feel good. I mean, your feelings are irrelevant if it doesn't line up with this. So
that's good. Years ago, I was going through a kind of like an identity crisis. I wasn't like turning 50. because I'd already turned 50, already turned 40. But it was like an identity crisis of faith, because I kept seeing in the Word through all the years this life that seemed so radical and real and transformative to not only, you know, the people's lives that received it, but their environment. You know, it said in the scriptures that this is the people that have turned the world upside down, you know. And I kept looking at my own life saying, is that real? I mean, has that happened to me? Have I been transformed in such a way that I'm turning my world upside down? So I started really saying, Lord, I want to know your truth. And so I prayed this prayer, I don't know, maybe for like a couple of years. And it was, I mean, we would pray it here on Sunday morning. And it was basically, Lord, I want the truth, the whole truth. Not so help me, God, but so help me, Lord. I want your whole truth. Whatever I have received into my life that's a lie, I ask you to remove it. Whatever I have received in my life that has become part of my belief system, I ask you correct it if I'm misaligned. I want you to let me know what I need to do in my life to be aligned with you in truth. And that's a radical prayer. I'm telling you, it's like praying for patience. Because God will honor that. And he showed me through his word, not through sermons, it was through his word, things that I had put in and through things that others had put into me that had built basically a structure. And I said, this structure is God. This thing that I built, this is how I view God. This is the church. This is the body. And all these things had to be dismantled one at a time. And all that was left was the cornerstone. Now, I'm telling you that the verses and stuff that I believed and that I'd read, they were all true. They were in there, but I didn't apply them in the truth. I didn't apply them to how God wanted me to apply them in my life. This was for me. And so today, I want to make sure that we're in the truth. And if you look, it's also which is unsealed, open, and without concealment. And it takes an intimate experience. See, I think that's what happened. When I asked for the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me, Lord, I started getting a genuine, intimate experience of who God was and who he could be in my life. I know Eric's had very similar experiences. You guys probably have had experiences like that. But they're not one-time experiences. That's the problem. We get to a place where we maybe receive something and we kind of start settling for it. We say, that's good enough. I've got all that I really need. Do we? Probably not. I'm saying I don't. I need more. That's why I'm up here on Sundays. Lord, more, more. Fill me with more. I want to be like you. I know you're in me. I know I should reflect that reality that you're in me. So help me to be more like you. That's one of the truths. It's progressively to liberate and make you free. I love that. When you think about it, Jesus is talking to the Jews. And the Jews, they were ones that thought they wanted truth. And they said, hey, you know, all of these things, the word says, or the Bible says, or the Torah says, the Pentateuch, all those things talks about God. And we believe that you're from God because, you know, you've got signs and stuff. But Jesus says, listen, if you believe my word and you abide in my word, you are going to be my disciples. And you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's another thing we need. We need freedom. Not freedom from a tyranny of the world, not freedom from, you know, a society that's coming down on us. No, we need freedom from the lies of the enemy in our lives. We need freedom from the deception of the devil that's been coming in and stealing and killing and destroying not only our lives, but literally our life in God. The treasures that have been deposited in us. The life that's been deposited in us. The unsearchable riches, as it says, of Christ that have been deposited in us. The enemy's been systematically, one by one, taking things away from us or putting blockades in our lives, however he can do it to keep us from living in the truth. Do you have something, bro?
Being rooted in Christ is really hard, especially when the rubber meets the road. And Jesus' disciples had 3 years with him, which is not that long, to get rooted in some of the crazy, miraculous things that he was doing. And we see Peter go through this. When Peter walks with Jesus very closely and then denies Jesus, and then sometime later, not that long later, we get to see where Peter's roots, where they really were. Mm-hmm. And in Acts, I want to just read this real quick. In Acts 3, some of us have heard this. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, and then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And I don't want us to just overlook the fact that it says this guy's been crippled since birth. I don't know about you guys, but if I saw somebody that was in a fragile state like such as that, maybe they were blind, maybe they were deaf, maybe they, like this man, you know, couldn't walk. I wanted to stand up here and say I have all the faith in the world for that man to get healed or for that person to get healed. Peter took it a step further and actually not, hey, we'll pray for you. Hey, we'll put you on our prayer chain. Hey, we'll go to the pastor and make sure that he knows that you're here. No, he actually said, I'm so rooted in Christ that everything I gleaned from him when I was with him, we're about to put into action right now. And in verse 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He got up. He praised the Lord. This is what a rooted life in Christ looks like. Is being able to take the things that we have gleaned from Jesus, that we have learned on a Sunday morning, have learned throughout our week in our devotion time, and actually putting into action. Because I'm able to get, like a plant does, nutrients from the roots that are in the ground. This is where everything on the outside is being put to action. This is where this is why I get to operate in joy. I get to operate in kindness and in love. Why? Because my roots are so far down in Jesus, I get to act like Jesus wherever I go.
Amen. That's good. So let's take a look at the basis for finding our roots. This is Ephesians 3:14 through 19. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So when I was reading this, I saw that you being, and I thought, oh, that's in like the present tense. This isn't like, he's not like saying, I want you to, as he says here, would grant you. In other words, I need him to grant you. I'd wish that he would grant you. No, he's saying something here, being rooted, grounded in love. Again, it's one of those verbs that's kind of working in the past tense. So I said, okay, let's take a look at this a little deeper. So Ephesians 3:17 in the NET says that Christ will dwell in your hearts. So that's like he's wanting Christ to dwell in their hearts in the fullness, so that because you have been rooted and grounded in love, amplified, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith, and may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love. The literal translation says that through faith Christ may dwell in your hearts, having been rooted and founded in love. So what is this saying? This is reminding me that there's a work that's been done in us that's a finished work. It's part of that finished work of Christ. Even though we don't see it in totality, it's truth. Just like we are light, we are light. You guys remember that? If you haven't heard that message, a few weeks ago, it's online. You can listen to it. Just like we are light, we have been rooted and grounded in love. In other words, love is our roots. Love is our origin. And what is love? Love is God. So we've been rooted and grounded in God, which is love. And it's part of who we are already. Even though we don't exhibit it, even though we don't always, materialize it, it's a truth, a reality that we need to believe. Having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love. because you have been rooted and grounded in love, because of all those things, then the other stuff follows. Because we've been rooted and grounded in love, we become able to have the fullness of God working in us, exhibited in us. Let's look at another. This is that Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. This is just the that one part of that verse. To inhabit, dwell down in, take a permanent abode in. That's Christ dwelling in us. The Christ, or the house of the house to house the anointed one, through the faith and trust within your hearts, being folks having been rooted or having taken root and now established and placed on a foundation within the midst of and in union with love, or having been grounded and rendered firm, centered in love. The Greek literally says this: having been rooted, having been founded or grounded. Having been, it's a finished work. So what does this mean? This is one of those things that we have to apply to our lives. Like Eric was sharing, it doesn't matter that it's something that we haven't seen. Because I'm sure Peter, when he walked up to the man at the gate, beautiful, he probably had not seen himself yet grab somebody by the hand and say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have give to you. And what he had was Christ. He had been rooted and grounded in love. And that love, that power of Jesus, it's all the same things. God's miracles are an act of his love, brought him to his feet. And he went leaping and praising God and creating quite a commotion. You have something? Another verse that talks about a similar process is Romans 3, 5, 3 through 5. Thank you. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. Poured. What kind of verb is that? What tense? Past tense. Flooded is some translations. The thing is that it's communicating to us that love is there. Love resides in us. And it's happened through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So we've been rooted and grounded in love. We've had the love of God poured into us. The Holy Spirit inhabits us. When we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. That's why we receive light. That's why we receive love. I told you last time, I believe that we don't just receive those. We receive joy. We receive peace. We receive all the attributes of God. Now, do they manifest in our lives? Are they apparent all the time? Sometimes they show up. Sometimes through the grace of God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they show up. But I'm telling you, I think God wants us in this day to be a people that exhibit these qualities. That not through any kind of righteous deed of our own or anything like that, but through the life that God has us living in. I was sharing with somebody yesterday, and I said, you know, the Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. What does being crucified mean? I'm dead, right? And it says, and I no longer live. I think that applies to us. We no longer live. And how we live now, we live in faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself up for us. We have been crucified. That means when we show alternative behavior to a crucified life, then that means we need to go back to the truth. Lord, I've been rooted and grounded in you. I've been rooted and grounded in love. I don't have to live like I used to live. I don't have to be as I used to be. I can now be like you. And do you realize if we start being like Jesus, not just the miracles, but character and nature, that people will be drawn to God because they'll see something different. They'll see a life that's in contrast to everybody else. It's not the same.
We have to recognize, too, that this is all the things that we're talking about. It's a choice. Life in the kingdom would be so much easier if on the day we received Jesus, it was like we got downloaded all the characteristics of Jesus and all the not so Jesus parts of us went away.
Gone.
But that's not how it works.
No.
And so when we, yes, we may be rooted in Christ, it's still a day-to-day decision to be kind, to show love. Peter, in that instance, had a choice in the matter. It wasn't, I have to do this because I'm a robot that's controlled by this puppeteer up north. It's more of, I'm choosing to step out in this way. A few chapters later, we see Saul that's going to Paul. There's a man by the name of Ananias, and he is, when Saul is blinded, God speaks to Ananias, and Ananias had a choice in that moment to actually, one, listen to the voice of God, but two, actually act on it. And so, absolutely, it would be much easier life following Jesus if we could just know that we're going to make every right decision to every person that comes across our way, or every circumstance that comes our way. Also, this Jesus gives us a choice. And so why do we struggle? It's because, well, we haven't intentionally engaged with this thing that Jesus has given us, Holy Spirit, and the discernment of God when we're in that decision mode, is that recognize I have a choice here, and there's a choice that Jesus wants me to make, and there's this other human side of me that I'm going to make. Why do I keep making bad choices? Well, because you're not actually listening to the free gift that God has given us, Holy Spirit, and saying yes to what every day, to what he has for us.
Saying yes is a key. And progressively, like you said, moving forward, not maintaining just the status quo. How did you share at the very beginning? Autopilot? Self, what's that? Cruise control, all of those things where we just say, hey, you know, I'm going to just go through life. I think I've got enough to make it. No, realizing that every single day we need to receive our daily bread. We need to receive our daily bread, which is the engrafted word of God, the life of God being, yeah. Oh.
After you, but I was just going to say, doesn't the Bible also say, is that like we need to die to ourselves daily?
Yep. Yep, that's what he means by taking up your cross daily and following him. It is. It's a decision. And the thing is like, if we make the right decision, we're going to help be world changers. And the world needs to change. The world needs light. The world needs genuine, real, authentic love. Not the kind of love that they're talking about, you know, online, you know, on TikTok, on Instagram. I'm talking about the kind of love that comes from above, the kind of love that dwells in us and resides in us. Let's look at this verse again from a little different standpoint. This is Colossians 2, 6 through 7. So then, just as you received Christ, just as the Lord continued to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The Amplified says it this way, having been deeply rooted in him. See, he is love. We've been deeply rooted in him. He is love. And now being continually built up in him and becoming increasingly more established in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing in it with gratitude. So it is a process, you know, but If we don't remind you, if we don't communicate to you the truths that are there, then you may just settle for. We may all just settle for whatever we can get by with. And the problem is, we may not impact Yakima like we declare on Sundays. Remember, that includes us in that you would use me in accomplishing all these things. Do you guys forget that part? No. It's about us also being used. It's about us having the life of God in such a way in us that it affects the world around us, that it affects our place of employment, it affects our school, it affects our families, it affects the gym when we go in, because he is in us, he lives in us. So, okay. This is Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. I like that. Trusting in the Lord means that your trust is the Lord. That you aren't just putting faith in God doing something. No, you're putting faith in God. You're allowing your whole trust to be put in him. I like to say we're putting all our eggs in God's basket. We're not, you know, keeping a couple aside just in case it doesn't work out. No, we're putting all of our hope, all of our future, all of our destiny into his hands. Because we know that they're capable hands, and we know that they're loving hands, and we know that he has only best in store for our lives, so we can entrust him with our lives. And it says, the man who does that, who trusts is the Lord, he is like a tree planted by water and sends out its roots by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. In other words, these individuals who trust in the Lord, whose roots are in God, it's like we're planted by a river that we always have water. That no matter how hot it gets, no matter how, you know, deserty it gets, no matter how bad the weather gets, we're always getting sustenance like you were sharing. We're not running dry. Our leaves aren't withering. We're not fearful of tomorrow, of what tomorrow will bring, because we're rooted in him. It's like, it reminds me of the man who heard the word, you know, but didn't obey it, as Jesus said. It's like he built his house on sand. He built his whole livelihood on something that wasn't solid. And it says that the storms came, the rains came, the winds blew. In other words, it got really bad weather outside. The problem is, because of the foundation, it didn't hold, and it gave way. And what he had built on went away. And he was left with nothing. But the one who heard Jesus' words, or hears his words, and what? What is the key? To do them. To follow through with the truth. To live the truth out. To not just say, oh, those are great words, but to live them out, what happens? We're like we built our house on a solid rock. I mean, I don't know about you, but a house built on a giant rock, the only thing that's going to move that is if the whole earth moves. It's not going to be probably wind. It's not going to be probably hail. It's not going to be probably anything that's going to move it. Why? Because it's built on the rock. And when we hear the words of Christ, when they're spoken in our hearts, when we read them in the Bible, when the Holy Spirit reminds us of something and we're obedient, we follow through with it, and we do it, it's as if we're re-cementing our roots again in God. It's as if we're going down deep by that river, and we're getting roots that we can go through anything. It's not going to happen if we just go on cruise control. It's not going to happen if we put it in autopilot. And yeah, we can let Jesus take the wheel, but he wants us to also drive with him. He wants us to not just be just a passenger sitting along for the ride. He wants us to participate in the trip.
And God is not a Tesla.
God is not a Tesla.
I'd love to say I bat 1,000 at this, but I don't. I want my default to be, though, is that I trust the Lord. And one of my favorite things is when God proves not only me, but people around me wrong. And I remember once we were living in California, and we wanted to move closer because we were going to ministry school, and we wanted to be moved closer to where we were most of the day. And I remember posting online to our community there saying, hey, we're looking for a place. Here's our budget. This is kind of what we're looking for. And I remember somebody who I'm in ministry school with, somebody who believes in Jesus like I do, somebody who's in this faith environment like I am, say, good luck finding a place in that area for that price. About a week later.
Burst your bubble, huh?
About a week later, we found that place for that price. That was closer to where we wanted to be. And so I have this thing in me, this conviction in me, Nancy as well. And again, like I said, I'm not batting 1,000. I doubt like anybody else. I'll be the first to admit. But I have this thing in me that I get indignant that anybody would doubt the Lord can and will do something. And that comes from the root because I've seen him do it. And so that's my watering is that I've seen him do it. And so when I have faith for when somebody, especially for homes, if somebody comes and tells me, hey, we're looking for this place and we want to move here. Like I'm the first to say, God has this. And I've seen 2-3 times now in my friends' lives where I've been able to declare over their life and within days, sometimes, guess what? We got the house. Guess what? That place that has the big yard that, you know, we didn't think we'd qualify for, we got it. And so, yeah, I don't remember where I was going with that, but it's good.
Basically, what you're saying is that because of you being rooted in God, you are able to have a confidence in God.
Basically.
And because it doesn't matter what others say, whether they're, you know, great believers, you know, if they're doubting, you're saying, no, my God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think.
Amen.
And you've seen him prove it in your life. I guess that's what you're saying. Ephesians 3:17-19. We're going back to it one more time because I want to show you what happens when we're rooted and grounded. That Christ will dwell in your hearts through faith so that because you have been rooted and grounded in love, you will be able. See, when we're rooted and grounded in love, all of a sudden we're able to do some things. We're able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know thus to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you will be filled to all the fullness of God. See, I believe that when we receive God, the Christ, we receive God. But there's something about the fullness of God, the reality of who he is, the completeness of who he is being manifested in our lives is part of this process. And so we have to be intentional. That's the word I want to use. Intentional with remembering, with reminding ourselves, with recalling what Christ has done for us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's only going to come through you reading the word. Amen. Through you getting the truth in you in such a way that no one can snag it from you. That no disappointment in life can say, well, it's not true because this fell through. No, you get the word so deep in you. You get it rooted and grounded in you as well. That it doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter if it's raining outside. In your heart, there's sunshine. It doesn't matter if there's been, you know, a death of something that you wanted. You know that there's new life in God tomorrow.
Amen.
Because what the enemy has meant for evil in your life, God's going to take it and he'll intend it to be good.
Oh, good.
And he will let life come. So what we have to realize is that we have to be purposeful in hiding the truth in our hearts. We have to be purposeful in doing that. Not neglecting such a great salvation that's been given to us. I believe if we're not in communion with God, reading our word, praying, listen to worship songs. There's some worship songs that have amazing scripture in it. Getting those in our hearts, then the thing is we're neglecting our faith. And if we neglect our faith, we're neglecting a great salvation. We're neglecting what Christ did for us on the cross. It's like we're saying, I know what you did, Jesus, but I'm willing to just take heaven when I die. Just let me get through life, and if I get heaven, that'll be just enough. Well, he'll let you get that, but that's like, again, like I said last time, that's like having a blank check and you writing $100, you know, transaction on it instead of the billions that's available. Wow. Because so much has been paid so that we could have these unsearchable riches of Christ. It means you can't ever leverage God for what he's done.
Good.
One more thing? You good? So let's find our roots together. I don't have it all figured out. This is stirring in me to remind me, like, Mike, you've got a place in God. You don't have to let circumstances, situations, disappointments, all these things that can get in our lives keep you from being who God has called you to be. You are a more than a conqueror. Says it in the word. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
So good.
You are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill. Reminding myself those things. Fortunately, I've put those scriptures in my heart. The Holy Spirit's helped me remember them. I don't know all their addresses. Sometimes I don't paraphrase them right, but I know what they mean to me. You may quote a scripture and it may be, I don't recognize that. It doesn't matter. If it sinks deep into your heart and sets you deep into the Lord, go for it. If you know a song that when you sing it, all of a sudden you feel like you're connecting with heaven, sing the song. If you like to go up in the hills and when you see the glorious mountains snow-capped in the Cascades, all of a sudden you feel the presence of God, do that. Whatever it is that connects you with heaven, that you realize you're rooted and grounded in him, then do that. Don't do what I do. Do what the Holy Spirit inspires you to do. What you know as a child of God gets your, what I want to say, motor running, so to speak. So good. Praise the Lord. Father, we're so grateful and we're so thankful that we are your children. And Lord, your word says that you're at work in us right now. Every single person right here, I believe, you're at work in them, Lord, to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, you desire to give us the kingdom. You delight to give us the kingdom. Lord, you're lavishing yourself upon us. You're not holding anything back. You're not begrudging anything that we're trying to receive from you. You're excited. You're elated, Lord. And so I pray that we would get these truths in our hearts. And Lord, that we would tap into the resources of heaven. And like Eric said, get indignant if we have to receive what you have for us. Not get to the place where we just are thankful for the little bit we get. No, Lord, let us receive all that Christ did on the cross for us. Let us receive every single price that he paid for those nailed, scarred hands and feet, Lord. Every drop of blood, Lord, that came out of his body, that penetrated, Lord, our hearts, Lord, when we received him. Father, let that full work be accomplished. Don't let us in any way, Lord, shrink back from who we are in Christ. Help us, as it says in your word, to come boldly before the throne of grace, Lord. We have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Christ, Lord. So we believe, God, that your will is a yes and an amen for us. So help us to be rooted and grounded in love. Help us to be world changers. Help us, God, to do what you called us to do, Lord, in this day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Well, have a great week, family. Thank you, Eric. We're just being obedient and see what the Lord will do with it, right? Amen. Yeah.